Today, on the fifth Sunday after Easter, we have the theme of prayer in the liturgy, especially in the gospel. And in fact, the next 3 days are called Rogation Days, which means days of special prayer. But we have our Lord in today's gospel, the words of our Lord, "Amen, amen, I say to you, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you." And our Lord went on to reproach the apostles, saying to them, "Hitherto you have not asked. Up until now you have not asked anything of my Father. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy will be full." And we see in these words that God desires to give. And that is the nature of goodness. God is good. He is goodness par excellence. And goodness of its nature wishes to communicate its goodness to others. And so God desires to give of his bounty, of his goods. But we must ask. Now, there are graces that God gives us without our asking. He knows what we need, and he gives us all sufficient grace for salvation. But we need more than just that sufficient grace. We need, especially in times of temptation or difficulty, and especially today in the age in which we live, we need more grace. And that is why we must ask for it. Now, some people will say, well, if God knows all things, then he knows everything I need. He knows every single difficulty I have, every cross I must carry, every sorrow. And if God knows everything, why does he not just give me what I need? Because he knows what I need. Well, the simple answer to that is because he has decided that this is the way it is going to be, that we must ask in order to receive. And, of course, who are we to question God's will? And our Lord often repeated those words, "Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." So we could say that this is God's plan, that we have to ask in order to receive. So prayer is indispensable. Our prayer life is like the blood flowing through our veins. It keeps us alive spiritually. Prayer is absolutely indispensable for salvation. In fact, St. Alphonsus Liguori, a great doctor of the church, wrote many books, something like 70-some books. And one of his books was on prayer. It is called The Great Means of Salvation and Perfection. And St. Alphonsus said in the introduction to that book, he said, "I have written many books, but this one is the most important. If a reader could read only one book, I would have him read this one. Because if you don't pray, you won't save your soul. But if you pray and you persevere in prayer, you will save your soul." And in fact, he reduced the whole truth of salvation to this one simple statement. He said, "Those who pray go to heaven. Those who do not pray go to hell." And he said, the only reason why there's anyone in hell is because they did not pray, or maybe they began to pray and then they quit and they stopped praying. So prayer is absolutely indispensable. Now, we all pray, but how well do we pray? Because it is not a matter of moving our lips and saying words, saying our rosary, or saying other prayers out of a prayer book. The most important thing is the heart, the intention of the mind and the heart, that we pray, as St. Louis says, we pray with modesty, attention, and devotion. In other words, we pray with a becoming posture of the body. We pray with a mental attention, and then we pray with a heart that is engaged, with the feeling, you might say, the sentiments of our heart. Prayer is speaking to God. It's like a communication with God, talking to God. Why do we pray? For 4 reasons, according to the Catechism. We pray, first of all, because we owe Almighty God adoration. We are his creatures, and we owe him worship. So the first purpose is adoration. We also have a duty of giving thanks to God for his blessings. So the second purpose of prayer is thanksgiving. Because you know how you react if you're kind to someone and they don't even say thank you, you have a feeling that I'm not going to help that person again. He or she is not grateful. Well, God also expects to be thanked for all of his wonderful gifts. And if we're not grateful and we don't thank him, then we don't deserve to receive his blessings in the future. So we must thank God. Another reason, the third reason why we pray, is to ask forgiveness, to tell God that we are sorry for our sins, so contrition. We have adoration, thanksgiving, contrition. And of course, the fourth reason, the one we think of most often, is petition, to ask. But some people only think of that. They only pray when they need something. So let's remember there are four ends of prayer: adoration, thanksgiving, reparation or contrition, and petition, to ask. Think about that in your prayers, in your thanksgiving after communion, and your other prayers, not only to ask, but also to God, to offer to God adoration and thanksgiving and sorrow for sin. Now, why is it that we sometimes pray and don't receive an answer to our prayers? Are we not at times tempted to think, God doesn't hear my prayers? God isn't answering me. Is God listening? Does he hear my prayer? Well, the answer is, if we pray well, God always hears our prayers. But he doesn't always give us what we ask for, or he doesn't give it right away. And the Catechism tells us that there are five conditions for our prayers to be heard, our prayers to be answered. First of all, we must pray with humility. We must have a deep conviction of our dependence on God and our need for his help. If we pray with a proud heart, that prayer will be rejected. So we have to pray with humility. The second condition is confidence. That means trust. We have to believe that our Lord is able to give us and wants to give us what we need. We have to have a trust or confidence in him. The third condition is that we pray with perseverance. You can't just ask once or twice, but we must continue to pray. Now, this Thursday is a holy day of obligation, the Ascension of our Lord, and it reminds us of the Ascension of Christ, what he told the apostles, that after he was taken up into heaven, they should return into the city, to Jerusalem, and prepare for the coming of the Holy Ghost. Now, the Bible tells us, the book called the Acts of the Apostles, that they persevered in prayer. They didn't know how long it would take until the Holy Ghost would come. They prayed for 9 days, and that was the first novena. And on the 10th day, the Holy Ghost came. They persevered in prayer. Should we think that all we have to do is ask once, and automatically we're going to get what we ask for? God sometimes withholds his graces to test us, that we ask again and again. And our Lord tells a story in the gospel about, he says, a man has a friend that comes to visit him late at night, the end of the day, and he's come from a long journey, he's hungry, and his friend wants to entertain him, wants to provide a meal, but he has nothing in the house. So he goes to his neighbor's house and knocks on the door. And no answer. Knocks again, and the man inside says, I'm in bed. My family and I are in bed, and we don't want to be bothered. And the man on the outside continues to knock, and he says, a friend of mine has come from a long journey, and I have nothing to provide him. Can you give me a loaf of bread? And then, as our Lord tells in the story in the gospel, if the man on the outside continues to knock at the door, finally the man inside gets up out of bed, gets a loaf of bread and gives it to him just to be rid of the noise of the knocking on his door. And our Lord gave this parable to tell us God is that way. He wants us to continue to knock. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. We can't just ask once. We have to persevere in our prayer. You look at Saint Monica. Saint Monica, whose son Augustine was a heretic and was living a bad life, and she never gave up, and she prayed for years, and he was finally converted and became a great saint because she persevered in prayer. So remember to pray with humility, with confidence, and with perseverance. And also there are two other conditions that the Catechism mentions. One of them is that we pray for things that are for the good of our souls, for the salvation of our souls. Now, does that mean that we cannot pray for temporal goods? Of course not. We should pray for our material and temporal needs, but always pray that you will receive these things if they be in accord with God's holy will. You pray for health. You pray for a job. You pray that you'll be able to pay your bills and so forth. That is certainly well and good. But God will not give us something temporal if he knows in his infinite wisdom that it would not be for the good of our souls. Someone buys a lottery ticket and prays that he wins the lottery, and God knows that if you won the lottery, you would become very worldly and materialistic, and you would quit praying and would end up losing your soul. He's not going to let you win the lottery. So material things are far less important than the spiritual things, the salvation of our souls. So we always pray for material or temporal things that God will give them insofar as it is in accord with his holy will, because he knows what is best. And one last condition the Catechism mentions is that we pray for ourselves. Now, right away we think, well, what does that mean? Does that mean we cannot pray for our neighbor? Of course not. We not only can, but we should. We must pray for others. And in fact, we're often throughout the Bible told to pray for others. And we ask others to pray for us. But what that means is, if you pray, let's say, for the conversion of a sinner, and it's a good thing to do, God will give that person grace, but you cannot change that person's will. That person must open his heart to receive that grace. So when we pray for ourselves, for things for the good of the soul, and we pray properly, we will always receive it. But when we pray for others, they will receive grace, but they must open their heart, because God does not take away anyone's free will. Our Lord even prayed for Judas, but Judas had to open his heart, and he did not. And so you see that when we pray the way we should, and especially pray for things for the good of the soul, God will always hear that prayer and respond. Now, sometimes when you hear a sermon on prayer, you can think, oh, I need to pray more. And maybe you do. But it is not so much a matter of how much we pray as how well we pray. Now, we should all have morning prayers. When you get out of bed in the morning, the first thing you should think of is to speak to God, to say your morning prayers. Whatever prayers you say, maybe the acts of faith, hope, and charity, the Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be, the morning offering, a few other prayers. It doesn't have to be a lot, but that you pray at the beginning of the day and then before you go to bed at the end of the day. You give thanks to God for the blessings of the past day. You ask his forgiveness for offending him. And then sometime during the course of the day, pray your rosary. Our Lady asked at Fatima for 5 decades of the rosary every day. And it is not too difficult. Let us make that pledge to our Blessed Mother that we will be faithful to her request, that we will pray the rosary 5 decades at least every day. Now, I know many people who pray all 15 decades of the rosary every day, and that is certainly very commendable. But Our Lady asked at least for that minimum of 5 decades. Now, there may be other prayers you say in office or other prayers. It's also very good to do spiritual reading. But as I said, the important thing is not so much you pray, how many minutes or hours of the day you devote to prayer, but how well you pray. To do your best to rid your mind of distractions, to concentrate on your prayer. Now, if you're distracted, does that mean that the prayer was no good? No, we all have distractions, and we must make an effort to put them out of our mind and do our best to concentrate on prayer. Maybe have a place in your home, a shrine, that you can focus your attention with some statues, a crucifix. And do your best to put, again, your cares and concerns out of your mind and say to yourself, right now I'm going to be talking to God. And all of the other things that I worry about, all of the other cares, they don't matter right now. Right now the only thing matters is that I give my attention to Almighty God. Can you imagine if you were going to have an audience with a very powerful, a very important person, a political person or whatever. Let's say after the tornadoes, you suffered damage and you have to report to someone and to seek help. And the help you would receive would depend on what you say and how you say it. And so you rehearse it in your mind. You think about what you're going to say. And then you appear before this important or this powerful person, and you're very careful about what you say, and you're all attention to this person. Well, think about this. God is giving audience every moment of the day. He's attentive to us all the time. And if you go to an important person, you have to wait for your time slot, and you have only so many minutes, and then it's someone else's turn. With God, He can be attentive to all of us all the time. We don't have to wait our turn. We can speak to Him wherever we are, whatever we are doing. We can speak to God all the time. And so we should try to do that. Not just our formal prayers, as I mentioned, morning prayers, night prayers, or your rosary. When you make the sign of the cross and you are formally, you kneel down, if you're able to kneel, and you're praying what I would call formal prayer. But there is another type of prayer which we call ejaculatory prayer. Short sayings, aspirations, what we call ejaculations. My mother, my confidence. Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place my trust in Thee. O Mary conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to Thee. Even just the holy names of Jesus and Mary. These are powerful, and we should form the habit of lifting up our mind and heart to God from time to time during the day, saying those short prayers, especially in time of temptation, to ask for the grace we need in those times of difficulty, of doubt, of discouragement, of temptation. Just to lift up your heart to God and say, my God, I love Thee. And we can pray in our own words. We don't have to use set formed words, although there are many wonderful prayers in prayer books written by saints that so beautifully express our needs. But remember, prayer is from the heart. It is our communication with God. It is our lifeline and the source of the graces that we need. So let us make certain that we pray well. Let us reflect upon those words of our Lord in today's gospel. Henceforth, you have not asked anything. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. God wants to give because He is good, and it is the nature of goodness to give. Let us, on our part, ask and ask much, and not be afraid to ask for all that we need, especially for the spiritual needs to help us persevere and to save our immortal souls, which is why God put us in this world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.